planet, and that is my opinion. So today I want to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. During this time of my wife's recovery, she has been home. It's quite a lengthy recovery process for her. We think that she has about three more weeks to go, and then we find out if she'll be able to go back to work at that point in time or if she's got to wait a little longer. But we're hoping that they release her to go back to work. But during this time, normally our house would be empty. We would be able to turn our temperature down during the day when it's cold. We'd be able to turn it up during the day when it's hot, or even off because of the mild temperatures that are normally normal in Brevard County. But this time she's at home, and during the cold stretches of weather that we've had, she's been cold. And so we've been blessed in that our heater is able to work and keep it at a temperature that is comfortable for her. And if your air conditioning unit or heating system is not doing that for you, I want to encourage you to call the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. They've been providing professional sales, services, and repairs. When it's hot, they provide air conditioning services. When it's cold, they provide heating services. If there's electrical issues, there are licensed electricians as well. They've been doing all that for over 40 years. They are always working in the climate that everybody is trying to escape out of. So when it's hot, they're in the heat so that you can stay cool. When it's cold, they're in the cold so that you can try and stay warm. They work in residential settings, commercial settings. They even do emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So before you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call. 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard them about them on the Refresh Radio program. Bob was telling you about them, and you decided to give them a call. It's great to have a trustworthy mechanic. It is great to also have a trustworthy air conditioning repairman or trustworthy electrician, someone that's not trying to take advantage of you, but is trying to meet the needs that you have in your life. So today we're going to go to John chapter 1. We've already touched on John chapter 1, so I think we're going to migrate to some other passages throughout the program as well. But I thought I would just give you a little summary, if you will. A summary of some of the things that we have discussed that are partnered with truth, and therefore when you seek truth, you are going to find these same partners. Whenever you find truth, you're going to find them. Okay? You might think, man, he just beats the horse over and over and over again. I don't even own a horse, so I mean, it's a figurative horse here. It's not, he just talks about the same thing over and over again. Well, actually, I haven't. I've covered quite a distance in discussing the partners of truth. So let me recap some of them for you if I could. Truth, whenever you seek truth, you are also going to find sincerity. Whenever you seek truth, you're going to find peace. Whenever you seek truth, you're going to find justice and faithfulness and mercy. You will find truth and sanctification, truth and knowledge, truth and righteousness. Whenever you find truth, you will find goodness. Seeking truth will result in you having acts of love where you speak the truth in love. It will cause you to, when you find truth, you are going to find kindness manifesting in your life and being sown into your life by other people. You're going to find spiritual worship. You're going to find wisdom, instruction, understanding, and growth. Those are some of the things that we've talked about, and we're winding up this aspect of the study over the next couple of days here. So there's five more things that you can add to the list, but I'm going to let you write them down as we go along so that, you stay captivated here and stay listening to the radio program. So today we're going to go to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 1, and it says this in verse number 15. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." And so that's where we're going to end. So I want to start off today by telling you that it says here in verse number 17 that the source of truth is Jesus Christ. He's the source of it. And whenever you hear information, you need to be able to go back and authenticate the original sources. So there has been, I don't remember where I heard this. I don't remember the exact news story, but it was a quote. I believe it was a quote that was made by a Supreme Court justice, and they had said one particular thing, and because the modern people who held that Supreme Court justice up as a pillar, as a role model, they now no longer like some of the things that justice said. And so they went back and they reworded the quote to where it was not what the justice said. It was what they wanted the justice to have said. We find that now with other historical figures where people that have been held up to high esteem and looked to as sources of motivation, that now some of the things that they've said no longer fit with a contemporary narrative, and so people who have once held them up are now tearing them down. I want you to know that it's important to go back to the original sources. So it's a couple of hundred years plus since the founding fathers and the people who fought for the independence of the United States of America from the crown. And so that's a long time ago. You know, much of what goes on in society now has a very short lifespan. People don't pay attention to things for very long. They forget things. So I oftentimes ask people at church, "Does anybody remember what I preached on last week? Or does anybody remember what I preached on this morning if we have a Sunday night service?" And if they don't, then I need to make sure that they understand that message wasn't just so that I had something to talk about. It was so that their life could be transformed. So when there's a short memory span, you have to really do your research to go back to find the original source. So I had heard a quote back around Christmas time. There was a statement that was making its way around, and a person told me about it. I said, "You know, I've been to Bible college. I've been a pastor. I've been in the ministry for a number of years. I don't repeat the same sermons every Christmas or anything like that. Share the same stories many times, but I don't share the same sermons. I'm always looking for what does God want to say today." And so I said, "I've never heard that." So I went looking for the source material, and you know what I couldn't find? I couldn't find where the origination of that statement came from. I was able to find a lot of preachers who were talking about that story, And I could even find information as to where that particular truth entered the viral world of sermons, if you will. I could find, you know, pretty early where it was mentioned in a book, but nobody could really identify the spiritual source. So I want you to know what I did with that. I stayed away from it because I couldn't identify the original source. The original source of truth is Jesus Christ. You can look in all sorts of places, and you can find people that aspire to the philosophy that we ridicule in other parts of the world, where if you tell a lie long enough until people believe it's the truth, that eventually they will accept it as the truth. And so we see that a lot of times. I know people who can right now, not in a spiritual sense, but in other aspects of society, that they today will put faith in something that an organization has to say, and that organization has been proven to be fraudulent and deceptive over and over and over and over and over again. But they'll say, but they said it, so it must be true. And the truth of the matter is, they either like them their personality, or they don't realize that organization has shifted from its foundational elements, but they continue to do that. There were people over the past, 10 years or so, and they find someone that they like that has a message that they agree with, and they never check up to see, are these people telling me the truth or not? And so they continue believing a lie because they do not have a foundation or an original source of what truth is. The Bible, the Word of God, is truth. It is true because it emanates from Jesus Christ. And here in verse number 17, it says truth came through Jesus Christ. Truth does not come through any other means. It comes through Jesus Christ. He breathed into us. Man became a living being. Then Jesus talks about, the first Adam was a living being. The second Adam, being Jesus Christ, became a life-giving spirit. And so we want to be a life-giving spirit. We need that truth. He gives us the breath. He gives us mental capacity. He gives us the ability to heal in our bodies. And, so it's important to remember that is the source of truth. Not only does truth come, but in this particular passage, verse number 17, it describes that along with truth, spiritual truth, comes grace. Okay? So I want to tell you that truth is not compatible with deception. You cannot be a messenger who tells the truth part of the time and a messenger who lies part of the time. Say it's 50-50. And then whenever you are like that, then you're shocked when nobody believes you. It's like the boy who cried wolf. He kept crying wolf and there was no wolf and people kept believing him. And then he cried wolf and there really was a wolf and nobody believed him because he had lied so many times. So we need to realize that deception is incompatible with our Christian walk. And this truth that we are talking about here in the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse number 17, it says is partnered with grace, that grace also comes through Jesus Christ. And it says in verse number 16, and of his fullness we have all received. In other words, this truth and this grace are gifts from God. And he gives us grace for grace. He gives us favor, and we grow in that favor, and he gives us more favor, and he gives us more favor, and he gives us more favor. He gives us things that we do not deserve. That's a remarkable thing. I don't deserve to go to heaven because of all of the sin I committed. But because Jesus forgave me of my sins, washed them clean by the blood of Jesus, he took me from a position of rebellion against God brought me into a covenant relationship with God where I'm in submission to God. And now, instead of being displeasing, I am now pleasing in God's sight, and God lavishes his favor. You know, an acronym for grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. All of that, Jesus did everything that he went through so you and I could walk in a covenant relationship of grace and favor with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's John chapter 1, verse number 17. So let's look over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, a very famous passage of scripture. And it says this: "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." So here we see that Jesus is the way, he is the life, and he is the truth. So there is truth, and it is partnered with both life and lifestyle, if you will, or journey. And the important thing about this particular passage is that it says the pathway to the Father is an exclusive path that only happens through Jesus Christ. No one comes to the Father except through me. You can't be rich enough, famous enough, live long enough. You cannot be famous enough or powerful enough. There are a lot of people, high-profile people, who say that they are Christians, but in their profession, they set aside their Christianity for a social agenda that is ungodly. It's unbiblical. And I think that's a problem. I don't see that as living the truth. I see that as a person who is living a compartmentalized life where they say, well, this is who I am when I'm in church, and this is who I am because I want to keep my job. This is who I am because I want to remain popular. And I will tell you that when you are living for the pleasure of people, it is, first of all, an addiction. The second thing is it's extremely precarious. The same people who lavish praise upon you today could be calling for your job tomorrow. All you got to do is look at the triumphal entry of Jesus and see how quick a society can shift from being your greatest supporters to some of your greatest antagonists. So we have to realize that the life that we have did not come from a bioelectrical chemical reaction. I like to say it didn't happen because your ancestors fell out of a swamp and swam out of a tree. And I say it that way on purpose because either one of them is just, it requires more faith than Bob has to believe in them. And I don't say that frivolously. I can make a case for the astronomical unlikelihood of life here on Earth being an accident. You know, it is called the evolutionary theory because it is not proven fact. And since no one was there, and I happen to believe that that God has the capability of doing that because the Word of God says that, and Hebrews chapter 11 says that one of the greatest or primary understandings of faith is that you recognize that God created all things. I'm going to stick with that. God's the only eyewitness to creation that I know of that's still around. And so just like I trust original sources before, I'm going to trust the original source. And he said, yep, I created it. I did. I'm not smart enough to figure out how he did it. I don't have to know how he did it. All I know is he got together a pile of dust, he breathed into it by the Holy Spirit, and bam, there we are with all of our complexities, both on a macro scale and a micro scale. I'm going to put my faith and confidence in him. If that's okay with you, and if it's not okay with you, I'm still going to put my faith and trust in him. So you're going to find truth, and you're going to find life. Now, how does this partner together? Well, I will tell you this. If you lie to people, you are going to certainly end the lifespan of that relationship. It's not going to be the high-quality relationship it was before. When you deal with people with truth and integrity, you have a healthy, vibrant relationship. When you start lying, all of a sudden you have sown strife and discord and fear. The person who lies, man, I sure hope that they don't find out. And so you've got all of these programs and things like that are on social media and stuff like that, where they're trying to expose people who are living a deceptive life. I tell you, there's a much friendlier way to live, a much healthier way to live, a much more long-lived way to live, and that's this. Tell the truth. Live the truth. So I think it was a few weeks ago I said, we need to read the Word. We need to learn the Word. We need to live the Word, and we need to teach the Word. That's the thing. We need to live the truth. We need to learn the truth, live the truth, love the truth, and teach the truth. Not only does it involve the life and the lifestyle, but there's also the truth brings us to the place that we are able to understand that he's the way. He's the path. So I've got to get this right. If you'll give me just a moment. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That no one comes to the Father except through me. That's 9 words. I had a person said, you're going to base the exclusivity of getting into heaven on those 9 words. Well, there's no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved. It is not simply a path that is talked about in this one particular passage. It is consistent throughout the Word of God and in the context of the Word of God that you cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot give your way to heaven. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. So let me just begin to recap a few things that we've talked about here today, and that is that partnered with truth, besides all of that long list we talked about earlier, is grace, the favor of God. Okay? If you want to live in favor with God, you need Jesus living in your heart. Also, you need to understand that along with truth comes life. If you hear the truth, abide in the truth, know the truth will set you free. And I will tell you that is a very liberating thing. When it has happened to me, when I find out that people have lied to me repeatedly over and over and over again, then what I do is I no longer make my ears available to them as a source of information. I don't. But I will tell you, the one person that you never have to worry about that taking place, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is always going to be truthful. In fact, I put it this way. The devil will lie to you. He will tell you that it's free And what he means by that is until the price tag comes due, and then it's going to cost you more than you were willing to pay, more than you are able to pay, and it is going to lead to captivity, misery, ruin, and heartache. Eventually, it leads to death. God, on the other hand, says, this is what I'm going to do. He tells you the truth. He tells you what he wants to do, what he's going to do. Then he does it, says, I told you I was going to do it. Here I am, and there's nothing in heaven or on earth that is going to, there's nothing hell can do to stop me from fulfilling the word of God. So when we came through Christmas and all, we talked about all of those, we talk about all those prophecies that have been fulfilled, and you go through the word of God and you see prophecies that were made in the Old Testament, and they were fulfilled. Sometimes in the Old Testament, sometimes in the New Testament. I tell you what it ought to do. It ought to convince you that God is telling you the truth, that when he says, in the last days, this is what I'm going to do, this is what society's going to be like, you ought to take it to the bank and say, God, I need you to give me grace, because the truth is you're about to do incredible things, things that not the armies of the world can stop you from doing. God, I need your life. I need your way, your path. I need to do it. I need you to fulfill those things in my life, because I know you're the God of all truth. God bless you. You have a fantastic Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Yeah.